I'm Josh Carey.
And I'm Chef Tom Jackson.
And you're listening to Cooking with Fire.
This week, we're going to jump into the crazy world of Carolina barbecue.
Let's get started.
This is Cooking with Fire, a global exploration of barbecue from KMUW.
First things first, we want to announce a little something up top here. We had originally planned to only produce 6 episodes of this podcast with KMUW this year, but we are all enjoying it so much that we have decided to continue into the future without a break over the holidays.
So what was going to be our final podcast until next spring is instead just another in what we hope to be a long string of episodes.
Okay, so Tom, you said something at the top of the show that caught my attention, and that is you called the world of Carolina barbecue crazy. What's up with that?
Honestly, I'm being nice when I call it crazy, because unlike most barbecue regions in the U.S., from Kansas City to Texas to Memphis, where people band together and have real pride in the food they create as a whole, the Carolinas split themselves into 5 distinct regions that each seem to hate each other's food and promote theirs as true, authentic barbecue.
And when you say true, authentic barbecue, you mean what is considered to be true and authentic in the Carolinas?
That's not what I mean at all. I mean, true, authentic barbecue, period. They believe that the barbecue in the Carolinas is true barbecue, and everything else in this country and around the world is either grilling or smoking or some other word for cooking with fire. So let's first define what barbecue actually is before we dive into the history of Carolina barbecue. Barbecue can mean many different things. First, it is the apparatus that holds the meat over a fire for cooking. Second, it's the meat that is roasted or smoked on this apparatus. Third, a gathering of people eating said food. And fourth, a restaurant that creates food in this way. So the word itself doesn't mean one thing, and it can't. It's used in many ways to describe what I consider to be the culture of cooking meat with fire, and not necessarily just a single aspect of it.
With that, let's dive into the history of barbecue in the Carolinas. We're going to skip thousands of years of the history of this continent to come to the year 1539. Natives had been using elevated barbecues to smoke and cure fish and game for many generations before Europeans arrived, but in 1539, something very important happened. Hernando de Soto arrived in what is now Florida. This is important because in his possession, de Soto had 13 grunting hogs, which most historians believe to be the introduction of the animal to the Americas.
For those who aren't aware, hogs breed very rapidly. So by the time de Soto's expedition had reached the banks of the Mississippi in 1542, de Soto had 700 hogs in his personal possession. And this doesn't factor in all of the hogs that were now wild and roaming in the southern United States.
These hogs did incredibly well, and within a couple hundred years, they were a standard farm animal throughout the area. This is the first and most important reason as to why pork is considered to be barbecue and barbecue considered to be pork in the Carolinas. It is worth noting that in the pre-Civil War period, Southerners ate 5 pounds of pork for every 1 pound of beef. Cattle did not do well in the South, and pork was simply more available.
Now, there isn't a definitive history of whole hog cooks because it's been done for thousands of years around the world. In the South, they've been throwing large barbecues since the 1700s, and it isn't uncommon for a church picnic to be based around the smoking of a whole hog. It is simply ingrained in their culture at this point.
You heard us explain that the Carolinas were split into 5 regions, and it always amazes people to learn that not all regions cook whole hog. In fact, only a pair are known for it. The eastern style of North Carolina and the coastal region of South Carolina are these 2 regions. This isn't to say that whole hogs aren't cooked all over both states, simply that the style is more dominant in these 2 areas. The other side of North Carolina is the Lexington style, and it is known for cooking pork shoulder and for adding a little tomato to the traditional vinegar sauce of the eastern style. In South Carolina, you have the western style, where they cook pork shoulder, ribs, and other cuts, and have a heavier tomato version of the Lexington sauce. And then finally, the Midland style, which pairs pork ribs, ham, and shoulder with a mustard sauce that shows the German influence of the area. This week, we've chosen to give you 2 different sauce recipes, a Lexington style and a mustard style, so I'll let Tom walk you through the simple preparation.
All right, so we're here in our test kitchen. We're getting ready to make some of our Lexington-style sauce, which has got the tomato in it as well as the vinegar. So we've combined our liquids here in a pot. We're gonna throw together some of our spices as well. We've got some sugar, some kosher salt, chili flakes, and some black pepper mixed together here. And we're just gonna give this a whisk. And we'll throw it on the fire so that we can get this simmering and all the flavors melding. So we'll just bring this up to a simmer and let it go like that for about 15 minutes just to get all those flavors melded nicely.
Okay, so now that we've covered the sauce recipe, we want to walk you through cooking a whole pork shoulder. This is a more manageable task than, say, cooking a whole hog at home, and the size of the cut makes you feel better than when you simply cook a Boston butt. Tom, walk us through how we cook the whole shoulder.
First, to find a whole shoulder, you'll likely need to call a butcher. We get our shoulders from Strutlockers, but they'll be available anywhere that sells large cuts of pork. To start, you want to simply remove the skin off the top of the Boston butt portion of the shoulder. This will help the large cut of meat cook a bit quicker so that the smaller picnic portion of the shoulder isn't overcooked mush by the time you get the Boston butt done.
Do you make cracklings out of the skin, or do you simply toss it?
Most of the time, I'll just toss this cut, but if you love crispy pork skin, you can lightly score the top, season it, and cook it while you smoke the whole shoulder, and it'll give your guests something to snack on while the shoulder cooks. But once you've trimmed the skin back, you'll want to trim off the false cap on the top of the butt. This is a small portion of meat with a bunch of fat under it, so it's best to remove it now so you can season the best portion of the meat. Next, you'll simply work your way around the shoulder with your knife and remove any stringy fat or silver skin. Once you feel like the shoulder is cleaned up, lightly score the skin over the picnic roast and then start to season the pork. Now, don't be afraid to get fairly heavy on the seasoning. This is a huge cut of meat, and you'll want to make sure you get plenty of rub on the outside to give you a good bark so that when the shoulder is shredded, that will pull that nice, salty, savory flavor throughout the meat.
So now that the shoulder is seasoned, we're going to put it on our smoker that is preheated to 250 degrees. This is a huge cut of meat, so you'll want to make sure you give yourself plenty of time to cook it. You'll need to plan for 10 hours of total cooking time, checking along the way to keep an eye on the internal temperature.
Now, one way to speed up the cook is to wrap the shoulder about halfway through. Around the 5-hour mark, take some heavy-duty foil and double wrap the shoulder tightly so that no air escapes. This will both speed up the process and hold moisture in.
Once the thickest parts of the shoulder reach 195 degrees internal, you'll want to rest it for a couple hours. One of the easiest ways is to wrap it back up in its foil, wrap a towel around it, and place it in a cooler. This is an affordable way to hold the meat hot without shelling out money for a commercial hot holder.
And don't forget that you can get the recipe not only for both styles of sauce, but also for whole pork shoulder, including the rub, at kmuw.org.
Thank you guys so much for listening, and don't forget to go give us a review on iTunes or the Google Play Store. If there is something you'd like us to cook, please email us at cookingwithfirepodcast@gmail.com. Have a great week.